As you're finding your seat, if you will open once again to Luke chapter 15. If you've been here the last few weeks, you'll recognize that we've been in this passage for 3 weeks now. And today we conclude a three-week series on grace, and we put ourselves in the shoes of the Father. Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I've never disobeyed your command, yet you've never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" Would you pray with me? Father God, in these moments, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are indeed our rock and our redeemer. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a real thing in our country today called delayed adolescence, a failure to launch, some call it. It refers to young adults who struggle to actually become adults, to take on the full responsibility of living in this world as a grown-up. If you think back, it wasn't that long ago when a man in his mid-20s would have achieved many of life's major milestones, would have had a job, marriage, perhaps even children and a house. Today, it's more common to find a 20-something living kind of somewhere in limbo between childhood and adulthood, devoting as much time to video games as to a career, preferring casual relationships to commitment, living with mom and dad rent-free, preferred over holding a job and paying a mortgage. And there are many reasons why this has happened. Psychologists have lost years of sleep trying to figure this phenomenon out. But there's one thing that we all sense together, and that is that something along the way has gone wrong. We weren't meant to live as children forever. We were meant to grow up somewhere along the way and to become full-functioning adults just like the adults that raised us. We were meant to be a people who launch. And when a 20 or 30 something is still hanging on to the luxuries of childhood, still letting mom and dad pay their bills and wash their dishes, we can't help but wonder what went wrong. As I read the story in Luke 15 for the third time this week, this time standing in the shoes of the Father, I began to wonder if really all of us, don't sometimes struggle with this same failure to launch, at least spiritually speaking. See, all my life I've encountered this story, and whenever I have, I've always immediately been asked if I relate more to the younger brother or to the younger or the older brother. And I've been led to identify through them how I've received faith from our Father God no matter where I stood. And these are good questions and fine perspectives. In fact, I've preached on these the last 2 weeks, and I would think I would preach those sermons over again. But we have to remember ever so often just how deeply we are loved by God, and just how relentlessly He does pursue us, and just how extravagant His grace really is for us. It is good. It is good to slow down and to simply let God find us where we are and let us receive His grace once again. But this week, I began to wonder if maybe there's not even a deeper calling in this story. There seems to be in Luke 15 for all of us this invitation to launch, this call to move from the place of the wayward child to the place of the child returned home, and then in that father's home to eventually be a people who actually become like that father. Wondered if perhaps in Luke 15 there is a call for all of us to be a people who begin to stand in the Father's shoes as extravagant givers of grace, just as much as we find ourselves standing in the shoes of the sons who are so good at receiving. We may initially find that first and foremost the younger or older son resonate with us, but this one thing we all together have in common as the children of God, and that is that we were meant to launch. We were meant to grow up and become like our Father in all of His ways. And so we begin to ask this morning, what might that look like? Even just from this text alone, there's enough to begin with. There in verse 12, it says, "The younger son said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' And so the father divided his property between them." The father allows freedom, absolute freedom, in his love. And as we launch, we must too learn to love in freedom, just like our father. You see, the young son, he makes a really dumb request. It's a selfish request. It's a request that the father knows good and well will only lead to harm and regret. And yet, the father pays up and lets him go. He doesn't sit the son down and force him to listen to just one more lecture about how he's throwing his life away. He simply lets him go. The father seems to know that in his son's heart, perhaps he's already gone. And so in love, he doesn't force him to stay in a place that he doesn't want to be. He lets him go. And just as soon as he lets him go, the father begins right then to make space in his heart to welcome him home. Whenever the boy decides he's ready, whenever he freely decides to come. It could be tomorrow. It could be never. And it doesn't really matter as far as the Father's love goes, because freely He lets him go. And freely He lets him stay gone. And freely He welcomes him home. And haven't we known this same love from our Father God? Those times in our lives that He's patiently let us wander, as we explore other loves, as we seek other avenues for fulfillment. those times in our life that he's let us turn our backs on him completely, and those times that he has gladly welcomed us back home. We have a Father God who has let us be free to rebel, free to doubt, free to turn away. A God who has let us be free to mosey on back to him at our own pace, often on our own schedule. A God who's let us be free to stumble, free to race back home. All the time, we've got this God who meets us where we are and loves us right there in that space, freely letting us stay away, freely welcoming us home. And so as we, his children, begin to grow, those who have freely received his love, we get to go out and freely share his love too. We get to live on this earth, loving folks right where they are, expecting, demanding nothing in return. We get to choose to love people, even when they vote differently than we do. It's amazing. We get to choose to love people even when they take our things and run, even when they leave us waiting to be loved in return. We get to choose to offer our lives for others with no demand that they pay us back with theirs. We get to give our time to others, not counting the hours so we know how much we're due when the tables are turned. We get to lose sleep over figuring out how best to love our spouses and our children, even when we know they go to bed soundly night after night, not asking the same about us. We get to. And I say get to rather than have to, because we are a children growing up in the house of a Father who has chosen to freely love us just where we were, regardless of how well we love him back. We are growing up in the house of a Father who from the beginning of creation started dreaming in that moment about how to love us completely and well, knowing good and well we would live so many days without a thought at all to how we could love him back. Freely, we have been loved. And so we get to launch in our Father's house, and we get to freely love. And that's the very best kind of love. Perhaps that's the only kind of love. What else will it look like when we grow up in our Father's home becoming like him? It seems that we will become a people who choose joy and who know how to celebrate. Verse 23, the father yells out to his slaves. He says, "Get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. The wandering son comes home, and immediately the father starts planning a party. Even before the boy gets his first sentence out of his mouth, the father is already giving out orders to start setting up chairs and tables and to turn on the oven. There's no time to stop and to sit there in that place and rehash all the hard feelings of the past. There's no time in that moment to tell his son how much shame he's brought upon the family, about how many nights he left his father worried and afraid and alone. That all might come up later in time, but for now, there's only reason to rejoice, because he says death has given way to life. The lost has been found. The kingdom of God is breaking through. And before despair gets one more minute of the father's life, he is going to stop everything and simply rejoice. As children launching into adulthood in our father's home, we get to learn how to celebrate. We get to learn how to choose joy no matter what this world throws our way. This sounds easy enough, but I don't know if you've looked outside. We live in a culture today that is determined to make us settle for cynicism and despair. Just look at the models. The models in the clothing stores that market to our teenagers especially. All of a sudden in the past 20 years, if you look at the pictures of these models and the new clothes they're trying to sell, you will realize it has somehow become cool to be in despair. You walk in these stores for young people and the pictures on the walls, they used to be people smiling and actually having fun wearing this product. They now show someone who has bags under their eyes and a scowl on their face, someone who's all alone in the world. And somehow this sells clothes. Because I want to spend $40 on a shirt that will make me feel absolutely miserable, just like everyone else around me. What is that about? Why is despair so cool? Is it attention that we're after? Have we so lost our imagination about ways to gather people together to laugh and rejoice and celebrate that we have to walk around with slumped shoulders and heavy eyes to just get anybody to look at us? Do we have to live in this realm of despair to get people to hear our stories and see us? You see, sometimes we give so much voice to the darkness in our lives, and we do it in the name of vulnerability and transparency and being genuine, and I get that. There needs to be a safe place to let our own hurt and hard things be known. But my friends, hear me. It's just as vulnerable and transparent and genuine to dig around in our lives and our world until we recognize some pockets of life and joy in ourselves and others and expose those and choose to reveal them and celebrate them and to do it well. We, as the growing up children of God, get to invite others to the celebration of a God who is still on his throne and of a good kingdom that is still sneaking in all around us. When I was a youth minister back in Texas, I realized after a few months on the job that it was trendy for my junior high girls to cut their arms and then to wear short sleeves to church and to school to show off the pain. They weren't trying to hide it. And I'd watch each week as other girls would gather around the one who had hurt herself, and they would give her so much extra attention and care in that place. And I soon realized that we've got a world full of kids who are desperate to be seen and to be gathered around. And it broke my heart to recognize how they're growing up in a world that says the best way to receive that is to simply try to be the most miserable one of them all. But you know what, guys? The good news is this. We are children of this Father who in this story has every reason to put the party on hold and simply air his grievances for a while. But instead, he chooses to see the light and the life around him and to dwell on that first and foremost. We are children growing up in the house of a Father who knows how to celebrate and who does it well. Ever looked in the Bible at how often this image of banqueting table comes up? We've got a God who loves to celebrate. And so we get to live out a different way among our peers and before the generations coming up behind us. We get to look for life and light every single day, even in the simplest of ways. And we, as the children of God, get to be sure that those stories are celebrated and heard. We get to testify that joy and laughter are holy gifts. And every single day presents countless reasons to choose them both. Our world is immersed in bad news. It's driven by fear and by despair. Now, more than ever, I cry out, children of God, let's launch. And let's learn how to celebrate. Let's learn how to rejoice in every single way. We see death giving way to life. We see darkness giving into light, sadness surrendering to joy, fear making way for courage, despair transforming into hope. When you start looking for it, it is literally everywhere. What will we choose to see? What story will we choose to share? As we become like the Father, let us spread some joy. Let us throw a party. Everywhere we go, the people will gather around that too, I promise, because we live in a world that needs a lot more parties, because that's what it looks like when heaven begins to come to earth. And finally then, growing up in our Father's house, when the children become adults in His likeness, we get to be a people who offer grace just as extravagantly as He does. Seeing His Son while He's still far off, the Father is filled with compassion and only compassion, and He runs and embraces Him. And rather than make Him prove His trust before He does anything good for Him again, the Father goes ahead and pulls out all the stops. He finds His best robe and His signet ring and sandals, dresses His Son like a king. Already He's willing to risk His honor, to risk everything, on loving this boy once again. And when the older son sulks on that front porch, the father leaves his party to be with him. And he tells him, "My son, all that I have is yours." Even while he's still ungrateful, even while he's still unable to see the gift that's already been given, the father gently says, "It's still yours." All of my life, all that I have, whether you appreciate it or not, it's yours. Abundant love, extravagant grace, freely given so His children, when they launch, might freely give. You see, we've received the same from Jesus Christ, the crucified. With us in His heart on the cross, saying as clear as day, "My life for yours. All that I have, even my home with my Father, completely yours. I'm willing to put my own honor at risk to love you well. I'm willing to be called a fool so you might know the truth. I'm willing to leave my home so you might come home. I'm willing to love so much it hurts, to forgive so much that it defies logic, to offer grace so abundantly that in my death you might live." All of this on the cross, freely given, so us, His children, when we launch, may freely give. And yet, when I refuse to grow up in my Father's house, I remain in the place of a child, eager to receive His grace, but so very slow to dish it out. My nephews are 5 years old, and they know that I'm coming to see them after Christmas. And for about 4 months now, every time we talk, all they want to know is if I'm going to remember to bring them a Christmas present. That's all they care about. Because you see, kids love to receive. And the truth is, so do adults. But when we start to launch, when we really become like our Father, we become just as eager to give. And not just tithes and offerings, and not just canned goods, and not just volunteer services. Those are all good. But we become eager to be a people who give grace. We become eager to find creative ways to extravagantly love folks who have wronged us. We become passionate about doing whatever hard work is required to forgive those who have hurt us. We become relentless in our seeking and our scanning the horizon for any glimpse of a sinner come home so we can be the first to embrace them and say, "Welcome back. I am so glad you're here." We become unstoppable in our determination to look the one we know resents us in the eye and say, "You know what? There's room at my table for you too. In fact, I can't celebrate fully until you're there next to me." Those who are truly growing up, those who are getting ready to launch in the house of the Father, know with all their hearts how freely they've received God's grace. And knowing that, each day they wake up with eyes and hearts wide open, looking for ways, frantic to find ways to freely dish that grace right back out to those they love and even to those they need some help loving. And each time they dish it out, their heart grows up a little bit and begins to look just like their dad, a little more and a little more. I ask you this morning, how has our God overwhelmed you with His grace, even just today? How has our God loved you right where you are and made a way for you to move into life and love with Him? How have we freely received from His generous hand? And I ask you today, as we grow up, who is He calling you to see, to move toward, to offer grace to today? Who might He be calling you to forgive? What person or groups of persons have you written off that He is calling you to embrace? Who are you angry at that He is calling you to love? Who have you kept a record of wrongs for that He's asking you to let it go? All in the name of extravagant grace. Children of God, I believe it is time to become adults, that it's time to launch. To not only receive from our Father, but to become like Him. To become like Him by loving freely, by celebrating and rejoicing deliberately, and by offering grace abundantly. This week, will we live as the younger son, or as the older son? Or might we have the courage and the imagination to live as the Father Himself, with hearts that carry within them the person of Jesus, with hands and feet that go out and do the work of Jesus, with wills surrendered to the ways of Jesus, until all around us know His love, His joy, and His grace. Freely, we, the children of the Father, have received. Now freely, we, adult children of the Father, get to give, failing to launch no more. Would you pray with me? Father God, for the gift of Your love that is free, for the gift of celebrations and joy, for the gift of Your grace that is abundant, we say thank You. With full hearts, we say thank You. And for the gift of being able to be called a people who get to go out and love freely and celebrate wholeheartedly and dish out grace abundantly, we say thank You. What an incredible life we get to live. Help us do it well. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.